upon the mechanics of the halachas that are bound into time, there obviously has to be, and properly so, there should be a statement in Shulchan Aruch as to a philosophy of time. Now, it doesn't become entirely evident until you really think about it. How can you go ahead and philosophize about time? And there are two basic schemes. One is a Jewish scheme of time, and the other is a Greek scheme of time. The Jewish scheme of time has been carefully annotated in Halacha. The Greek scheme of time has become, lahavdil, the fundamental model for Christian society, for Christianity. The first, the non-Jewish scheme of time, can be illustrated by taking a pencil, putting it down on a piece of paper and drawing a straight line. As the line progresses in whatever direction, time is passing and you keep on progressing and progressing. That model of time indicates that the further you get away from the origin, the point of origin of that line, the better you are, the more progressiveness there is. If we wanted to talk Christian philosophy and theology, I could document that. That this world is going higher and higher and higher until it's going to reach its ultimate. The Jewish scheme of time, lahavdil, is totally different. It is my fear of a slinky. It is a cycle. Okay? If you've ever played with a slinky and held a slinky, you know that you are dealing with one piece of probably copper that has been cut out from a cylinder. And you start at one end, and the cycle keeps on going up and around and down, and then up again and around and down, up and around and down, and up and around and down. There is no break in time, furthermore. There is no substantive difference in the time at any point on the cycle, as opposed to the first model, where the further away you get from the original point, the better off you are, supposedly the more civilized you are. We have this constant cycle that keeps on going. The downside doesn't mean that it is necessarily bad, and the upside does not mean that it is necessarily good. These things aren't used, but nonetheless, it is a constant cycle, never-ending cycle. And there are, you know, so let's take the circle on the slinky. If time is cyclical, then obviously we will assign one side of the cycle to, let's say, day, the other side to night. Okay? One side of the cylinder of time, we'll say, is the beginning of the month, and then the top of the month, and then we go down, and it's the end of the month. Within the given day, as opposed to night, the sun rises, and then, so to speak, traverses the horizon, and then comes down. So, you know, we have this model of cycle, but that does not say, nor does it intimate, that any one part is better, or I'll use the word that you could a little bit is preferential than the other. In different words, every part of the cycle of time has its nuance, has its challenge, has an emotion that you have to address to it, a task that has to be performed. Sometimes a task is better performed on one side of the cycle than on the other. But that may be just coincidental to the task, not to the time itself. I mean, if you take a look at the very first page of Shulchan Aruch, this is what has to be understood from the source. Yeah.
How do you see what you just said?
With my mouth?
Our whole thing, Har Sinai, represents a pinnacle. He, what is it, the Shivkla, who, I don't know if that's the right word, the, who lived at...
Masha Rasa Shivkla Layam.
How do you compare our Gaonim, the Tanoim, the Amorim, anyone, seemingly everything we say, whether it's true or not, they lived at that time, for us to gossip and even contradict anything that anyone says. Who are we, little...
And yet on the other hand...
We have Mashiach also.
But on the other hand, you have the Lashon, let's say, of the Baruch HaShe'achiyonu, Bayamim HaHem, Bizman HaZeh. All right, that's the other side of the coin. This is the very same time. This is the very same moment. In a different year granted, but it's the very same moment.
That's very good.
That is the only shot of Shefiyonu. That's it.
I never understood it before.
I am parallel. I am perfectly aligned at this moment with what happened on the slinky 14 coils ago, or 150,000 coils ago. You understand? I'm at the same point. I'm in series. You understand? And I'm there. I'm really there. I am reliving this moment. Chayav Adam Lirosis Atzmo, at this moment, tonight as we sit at the Seder, Ki'ilu Hu Yatzami Mitzrayim. I'm now going out of Mitzrayim. And as time progressed here on my left hand with the cycle, which was 2000 in the year 2448, now in 5741, I am doing nothing else but creating a gear of time, a sphere of experience that works identically in gear, the same way. The same way that before Chatzos on that night, they finished their eating of Korban Pesach, I, before Chatzos, am going to be finished with all the eating, and so on and so forth, and, you know? This is all that is in Shechiyonu, and if you don't understand that Shechiyonu, it's probably such a rip-off that you've been ripping yourself off in saying the bracha and trying to confront that experience in front of you.
I think what Michael is trying to say is that
I know
there is an element that's directional within even Jewish thought, and that's coming from Sinai and going towards Mashiach. And Binyan Beit HaMikdash.
But except for one thing, no one will deny that directional tendency. What you have to clearly restate in what he is saying is that we have in Chazal the definitive statement of Niskatnu Hadoros, that the door that Moshe Rabbeinu had was far greater than the door that Yehoshua had. Because the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died, 300 halachas came into question. Why did they come into question? Because Moshe Rabbeinu stood at Sinai, and those 300 halachas were quite clear. The midos, the concepts, the equations by which you would solve these 300 situations were just obvious to Moshe Rabbeinu, as opposed to a Yehoshua, where there were already kinds of spekos. And then in the generation after, the Shoftim, and then after that, the Nevi'im, and Niskatnu Hadoros, the further away you get from Sinai, somehow there is a degenerative tendency. So you want to use that as a, you know, as the other model in time, that somehow the further away we get from the starting point, the difference, there is an essential difference in what is going on. And we can answer it very simply, that you are clearly formulating the problem, but you are not really reflecting on the true essence of your formulation. Your problem is not time. Time is only incidental to your problem. Your problem is a thing called Mesorah, that as it's passed down from generation to generation, as perfect as the Mesorah can be passed down, there are always some kinds of problems as a result of the spirituality that we had, this highest unduplicable Kedusha. It just cannot be replicated at Har Sinai, where the way we stood. However, if theoretically, in any one door, we could replicate Sinai, would we be back at that point? Without question.
So the problem is not the time that we passed from Sinai. It is that as a result of the time, something else has resulted. And the something else is the ikar. There have been blemishes in contact with Sinai. There have been dead spots, short circuits, golus, machlokes, difference of perspective, minhog, whatever you want. All of the variables. But that does not mean that this is a degenerative process that can never again occur. It can occur at any time. Surely, in Yemos HaMashiach, and that's what we mean when we say Teiku, that Tishbi Yitaretz Kushios Va'abayos, that Yemos HaMashiach, all of these so-called inaccuracies, all of these doubts, all of the weakening links since Sinai, which are nothing more than a subsidiary function of time. It is not the essence of that the time did it. It's just by virtue of the circumstance. All of these can be recreated in the Yemos HaMashiach, so that it is not bound in time. It is bound in the unity of Klal Yisrael, in the revelation to Klal Yisrael, which will occur again in Yemos HaMashiach, and in the ability to take the whole world and straighten it out as a dispenser of Torah in the Atul B'Chartonu, which is the Bris HaChadoshah, the new Bris at Sinai. There will be a new Bris at Sinai, and that's Yemos HaMashiach. So, you know, time is so coincidental, almost totally ancillary to the whole problem of the process of degeneration. So today, those of you who come to really paskin halachas, you know, you want to get down to hardcore halachic terminology, I've got to understand that you have to first build in a little attitude. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch wants to do. When we start in Aleph, in the Mechaber, Yiskaber ka'ari la'amod ba'boker. Boker is a new point in the cycle of time. And he tells you that on that point in the spectrum, one has got to act as if he is a lion. A lion being challenged, a lion being tempted, a lion being stimulated. What is the response of the lion? He's kaber ka'ari, he just jumps up on his feet, springs up on his feet. If you never had a lion in the house, surely if you had a cat, you know that instantaneously, when some little peep outside is heard, instinctively, whammo, the cat, the little kitten becomes a lion and charges across the house and is ready, you know, just waiting for someone to open up the door so that she can get out to see whether it's a squirrel in trouble or a bird in trouble, and whammo, pounces on it like the biggest beast of prey. Ramod baboke la'avodas bor'o, this is the attitude that one has to have when getting up to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these are classical words over here that he uses. It's in Yerushalmi, Shehu, that Sheyehehu, that he, the person, should be Ma'orer HaShachar. He is the one who starts to wake up the dawn, rather than the dawn wake him up. Here is a statement, he puts it in Halacha, but you've got to understand that you are the master of time. Time cannot be your master. This is probably one of the most profound and all-encompassing psychological statements that you can have. You can pattern your whole life after this motivational phrase over here, Shehu Ma'orer Shachar. You know, you feel the kind of desperate push. What are you talking about? A world is counting on me. I've got to be there. The whole problem that we have in the economic sphere, in the workplace, in the marketplace, with sick days and days off, and I can't go to work today, I'm falling sick, all of these things, for people who feel such an incredible responsibility. You know, what are you talking about? Sick. Unless I'm down and out and the doctor tells me I've got to get into bed or else I'll die, God forbid, you got to get up, you got to go to work. Finished. That's it. And we don't understand the difference between a person who runs his own business, who has to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to open up the candy store so that you can take the milk in that was delivered, the papers in that were delivered, get the coffee going, right, and shovel the walk so that the customers can come in, as opposed to, a teacher in public school, or a 17th ranked Social Security bureaucrat, in Social Security. And these are two different models.
You're saying the entrepreneur is in control of time?
The entrepreneur has motivational factors that push him to control time much, much better. For indeed, time is money.
Whereas the bureaucrat is... The
bureaucrat doesn't give a darn.
...is a function of time.
Yeah, that's it. I come in at 9, I have a 10:20 coffee break. Don't talk to me for the next 13 minutes. I don't exist. But the world is burning. Drop dead. I don't exist. Now, what are you laughing? This is the biggest tragedy.
Yes.
When you weren't in Eretz Yisrael yet, Mike, when don't you feel this when you walk in to a bank in Eretz Yisrael or to a government office in Eretz Yisrael and it is 10:20 and at 10:20 is tea time? You come running up to the kupai, to the cashier, you're standing online, you are panting for breath to be able to exchange some money or do some business, because you have got to get to the airport. Hell will freeze over first before he stops his teeth. I had it in Eretz Yisrael. It must go on record. I went to Eretz Yisrael. I'd sing Lakidosha. Okay? I have an apartment, I live like a king, I have more square footage than Begin had in his own apartment. I made more money than Begin was paid as prime minister. Simple. And I taught 6 hours. We sat in a room and I taught 6 hours. Whole week, that's what I did. I'm using someone else's apartment, I'm using someone else's telephone. All of a sudden, 2.5 months into my stay there, the telephone goes off. So I pick up, because I have nothing else to do, and I go down to the central office, and they tell me, yeah, you didn't pay a bill 4 years ago. I said, I only arrived 2.5 months ago. How much is the bill? It's 440 lira. That's $4.40. I said, okay, here it is. Turn on the phone. Yeah. I said, turn on the phone. No, we have other things to do. I know you have other things to do. But I want to tell you clearly. You see this newspaper? I had a Ma'ariv. I look like an American, but you see already that I don't talk like an American. I talk your language, and not with an accent. I'm sitting down right here. But before I sit down, I want to tell you that I will not leave this office until the telephone is on. Because I know what it takes. It takes a simple call on the alchut, on the the walkie-talkie, to your men who are in the field to go over there and just go beep. I know what it takes. Now I just want to tell you who I am. I am an American. I am a rabbi. I have good connections with the newspapers. So you have one choice now, either to turn on the phone or to call the mishtara, call the police to arrest me. And when they do arrest me, I will spend the rest of my year suing you and making sure that every single day there is an incident in this newspaper. The mefakachat, the director, looked at me and said, There are two ways. One is to call the crazy squad, the men in the white coats, or get rid of this Looney Tune as fast as possible. The phone was on within moments because the system was defied. The system was, look, in La Yom, not today, it's tomorrow. But isn't it to your advantage to try to extend yourself in time for, you know, for a bureaucratic blunder? I admit the bill should have been paid, but if it was a bill that was incurred 2.5, 3 years ago, and now someone's coming down, plunking down cash and gets the message, and is totally blameless, isn't there something that you can compensate with, and that is to harness time? And the answer is no. If they were a private corporation that had to make profit, and their profit depended upon how many customers they had, or how hungry a banker they were, it would be a different story altogether. Now, how early do you get up? Says the Agor, says the Ramo. The Al-Koponim, in any event, since this is such a subjective situation, there are times when people have to sleep late. There, what's there to talk about? Whether infirmities or working into the night, 3 o'clock into the night, 2 o'clock into the night, 5 o'clock, when some of us can still be working for whatever reason. Al-Koponim quotes the Ramo in the name of the tour, Lo Yacher Zmanat Filoshatzibur Misfalavim. One should try to schedule his or her waking up and falling asleep in such a way that Zman Tefillah, even if you're not in shul, should coincide with the Zman that the tzibur of your community is davening. Now, if you live in a metropolitan kind of a situation, it's probably a floating time, because in New York you can get any, you know, there's no tzibur, there's no real tzibur. You can get a minyan at any and every time. So it's difficult to implement that halacha. But he's probably writing for the classical Jewish kehillah, which had one little shul and one gabbai and one little time, and, you know, everything was centered around. So it was a pattern that you were trying to look at. Work when everyone works, eat when everyone eats, sleep when everyone sleeps, and daven when everyone davens, and get up when everyone davens. So much for the time. Now, let's take a look at some of the Mefarshim. You take a look in the Ba'er Hetev, which was written in Lita. You will notice Beis Hashachar. That you wake up the morning. Okay, I gave you one pshat. In Kabbalah, these words set off another way of looking at it. Big mekubal kasab sod. He dwelt on the mystical meaning of lechaber yom v'layla b'torah u'tefillah, of connecting, joining day and night with either a moment of tefillah or a moment of Torah, hein ba'boker v'hein ba'er, whether it is joining night to morning or morning to night. No. Where do you think I get the slinky model from? You see? Huh? No, whether it's joining the day segment to the night at the end of the day, or joining the night, the end of the night, to the morning. That these, both of these ends should be joined, should be fused, should be linked by acts of Torah Tefillah.
What's the Kabbalistic chachma there?
That is the slinky model. That's the cycle model. It's a chain.
That you, a human being, are joining two points in time?
Sure. Except for one thing. When you join it with Torah and Tefillah, what are you joining? You are joining finite time by a finite human being with what? With the eternal desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. al yidei Torah tefillah. You are taking time and making it. I'll be careful with what I say, but I hope I don't say it scientifically wrong. You are taking finite time or finite man and making time infinite by identifying, by rendezvousing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, either through learning or davening. Did I say something to you?
I'll have to think about it.
Well, think about it out loud. Another day passes, and I'm a day older. If I'm a day older, I'm a day closer to being, you know, to calling in the contract. Okay?
Yeah.
Every day that passes, I degenerate one more day, one more step. You can walk around with that feeling, and you know what happens to you. You give up. You can blow your brains out that way. That was Marilyn Monroe's problem. She was afraid of the first freedom. Or you can go ahead and say that every single day is going to be linked at its passage times, at its critical moments, in other words, when day dawns and night falls,
mm-hmm.
by the cement of eternity. The cement of eternity is either Torah or tefillah, so that you become part of the eternal process, the infinite process called the Ruchnius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And that's what Kabbalah is saying. I don't want you to draw a line, because the line, when you draw from that point, can also be a line that is degenerative. I want you to go ahead and take every single day and connect it to night, and every night to day, and day to night, and night to day, and on and on and on. And the cement of connection, the mystical sense of connection, is that remember that if you're going to count days, you're only counting it in the physical sense. But there is another concomitant, there's another component to you, which is the neshama, which is eternal, which is chelek eloka mimah. It's indestructible. It is immortal, the neshama. So use the things that flare up the neshama, that brighten the neshama, that shine the neshama. At those moments when you kind of say, oh, I'm a day older, I have another 314 days to my next birthday, which will make me a year older, or a decade older, or whatever. All right, that's the physical, that's the degenerative, but you're not going to live that way. You have to, and this is the soul, this is the inner thing is, you have to realize that you are an eternal function in this world, if you look at neshama.
What strikes me here is, this is the first time I've seen it written, but this may be the Kabbalah that the Hasidim loves to daven in Mincha, mamish during Dei Hashmasha, because that is the tie between day and night.
It's a possibility. Without question.
And
talk about in the morning. What style of davening in terms of time expresses the same thing?
The Vatican.
There it is. Vatican.
I was going to say.
Our question.
It's easier, at least for me, to get it in the morning, because you might daven mincha early, and then you'll be busy until late into the night, and then you'll daven maariv. Are they saying you've got to make both connections, and you? It's obviously not halacha, but. So it's preferable to try and get it at both connections.
The Shalom asks you for a sensitivity. Okay? It may take you your whole 70, 80, 90, 100, 110 years to be able to perfect the mechanics of this sensitivity. No one's asking you for your particular personal circumstance. The only thing you're required to understand is, does it make, where is this Kabbalah? Is it esoteric? Is it totally unintelligible? How can we, as modern man with Western logical minds, as cold as a stone, how can we understand it? And there's no question in the world that it addresses itself to the existential problem, capital T-H-E, that we have, and that's the passage of time. Are we going to look at it as just totally degenerative? And Shalom brings us to the point of saying that with the passage of time, you have an opportunity twice a day, and I'll show it to you in another style, twice a day, to constantly say that you are on the eternal roller coaster of the up and down of time. And if you can understand this, that you are part of eternity. You are here because Avraham Avinu did the same thing. Alright? That gave Avraham Avinu eternity. And when you go ahead and you say in Uvol Etzion, Va'ato Kodosh, right? Right before Va'ato Kodosh, Yerush Etehilos. You ask for what? Uvol Etzion, Golo Shavetzah, Shavi'akol Nim Hashem. Va'ani Zos Brisi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is my bris with you mortal man. Right? That lo yomushu mipicha, day and night, umipi zaracha, another generation, umipi zera zaracha. That's eternity. Well, that's eternity. The same Shabbos that came every single 7 days, your grandchildren will hold. The same Pesach that came on the 15th, your grandchildren will hold on the 15th of Nisan. Because it's the same 15th of Nisan that Moshe Rabbeinu did. That's the Shech, Yonu Bikimonu Bibiyonu, Zman Bizeh. That's eternity. Because Masha Hoya, Yidiyeh, it's going to be again and again and again. And the Torah is that, you know, that crazy glue that cements immortal man to his so-called mortal circumstances. That's why it's a pity to sweep it away. You're getting out of bed, you know, unless you just you beat.
So God created time. God created the difference between day and night. He made the heavenly and the earth by law. What life? Why is it our goal to connect them if He separated them?
What was separated? What
He day. Separated day and night.
Or separated okay. Day and night.
Yeah.
God is a lion at night who whimpers or screams because oh, my children, what's happened to them?
Well, he didn't do that for that. He didn't separate the two into two realms just so he should be able to inflict pain upon himself and bring golos. No. No. Not at all, but you're going to have to answer that. Night is not an absence of function. Night is as much as an important function in the physical, in the natural world, as day is. Not correct? Help me. Plants, the whole cycle of plants with carbon dioxide and photosynthesis, they need the night, no? There's something constructive over there.
It reverses the process at night.
Okay?
Wow. That means you couldn't, life could not exist without night.
Well, that's the point. That is, you see, so the bria of night is as a positive essential element as the bria of yom.
Except for the fact that we have plants and everything living at the bottom of the ocean where there's no light, and they
I hear what you're saying.
If it would have been all night, then they would have looked.
But you don't have the plants on the earth, and if you didn't have the plants on the earth, you wouldn't have the animals on the earth.
And if you don't have the animals, you wouldn't have the man, and man needs the night as much as he needs day.
We don't live on the bottom of
okay?
the ocean.
Elama, man by natural circumstances in night is himself limited. He cannot work for one reason or another. He doesn't have natural light or he doesn't have strength. Okay? So you look at it as a time to goof off. That's the Ruach HaTumah, you see. That's the Shena. That's when Tumah descends, because it's a time to goof off.
I find the struggle of going to sleep later and later, 2 yeah. o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, and how can I reverse it? It's going further. It's easier and easier to stay up and not to work during the daytime. And
oh, sure.
To learn sociological...
It's a heck of a lot less painless. There's so much less activity around, there's so much less diversion around, and... you know, you really can concentrate at night much better. Look, that is my tragic circumstances. It doesn't, until 12, 12:30, the phone doesn't stop ringing. Then I can first stop thinking. Now let's look at this, please, from another perspective. The Mishnah Berurah, just to state for the record, the Mishnah Berurah, that's the Chofetz Chaim, who passed on 50 years ago, 1935, did three things on the page. The first one was the Mishnah Berurah, which is his commentary. The second one on the bottom is the Sha'ar HaTziyun, which are his sources, whom he paskins from. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that the little aleph is the tour, and the beis is Ayin B'Sha'arei Tshuva, that happens to be over here. Gimel, if he says something poshut, it's obvious, he'll say it's obvious, I'm formulating it, but it's obvious, etc. and so forth. He'll give you all of the sources from which he draws. But there is a third thing on the page, back in the middle of the page, in the left-hand column, which is Be'ur Halacha. And Be'ur Halacha are essentially his footnotes, in which he will take something in the Mishnah Berurah, and he will delve into it as fully as possible. Very often, he will say in the Mishnah Berurah, consult my Be'ur Halacha, consult the footnotes, and vice versa. In Be'er Halacha, he will say, as we already wrote in Mishnah Berurah, I am just picking up over here. The sign and the symbol is a little star, is an asterisk. So you have an asterisk, so that you have up on the first line, Sheyehei Huma Orer HaShachar, up in the Shulchan Aruch, right there you have a little asterisk before the beis, right? Okay? And that asterisk indicates, at least on a page of Mishnah Berurah, that the Be'er Halacha has something to say.
And he's simply expanding the Mishnah Berurah?
He is either expanding the Mishnah Berurah or giving you information that he does not want to put into this digest of Halacha, because it then will become too cumbersome.
Okay? So you don't go right to the Be'er Halacha, you go to the Mishnah Berurah?
No, you always go to the Mishnah Berurah first to see the perspective, and then you sharpen your understanding with whatever there is in the Be'er Halacha. Surely where there are massive machlokas on any point, that's where he is going to take it up. He will paskin in the Mishnah Berurah, and in the Be'er Halacha he will show you or explain to you all of the different shitas, and so on. Okay? Sheyehei Huma Orer HaShachar, in the Be'er Halacha. Says the Mishnah Berurah as a starter to this Be'er Halacha, I want to give you a little lesson in orientation of Jewish time. Nachon Me'od, I can't paskin la halacha, he says, but if you understand this concept of time, nachon me'od bizaher, it is extraordinarily important and correct that you be careful, lomar kodem kol shloshet hatfilot, to say before shachris mincha and ma'ariv, hoda'at hayehi ratzon hamavol al b'Yerushalmi in perek tfilat ha-shachar. In Yerushalmi, in Tfilas HaShachar, which is a Masechet Brachos in Yerushalmi, the following Yehi Ratzon is stated. Before Shachris, this is what you say. Quote, Mode ani lefonecha, Hashem Elokai velokei avotai, Shehotzeitani me'afela le'ora. Thank you, God, that you took me out of the abysmal darkness to the light of day. And then daven shachris. You know, and probably, here is the important part. Probably what he is saying is that if you didn't have the ability for true kavona for the rest of shachris until Shema Yisrael, except for that little Yehi Ratzon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will understand that you have to go to work. But the essence, the quintessential reason for davening shachris, you have captured in that Yehi Ratzon. Yehi Ratzon milfonecha Hashem Elokein Elokai Elokei Avosai. Good morning, Tatanu. Good morning, Avinu Malkeinu. Shehod Seitani would be good. That you took me out of the darkness of night, and guess what? I'm alive again. The aura of day.
What about the Moda Ani Lefanecha?
It's identical. Where do you think the Moda Ani Lefanecha comes
from? Shabzat Abin Ishvatim?
No, that's identical. It's built on that. On this Yerushalmi.
But the
Chitza. Oh, so what? No, but it says the same thing.
Oh.
Okay, so it's the Moda Ani. But here, what you're learning in the Yerushalmi is that there is a moda ani for mincha, and that there is a moda ani for what? For ma'ariv also.
What would be the mincha one?
Well, go on. Ubemincha, moda ani v'chulu lefanecha, Hashem elokai velokei avotai, shekishem shezichitani, the same way that you gave me the zchut, lirot kishahachama b'mizrach, that I was able to see in the morning and take my first deep breath that the sun is in back of me over my shoulder in the east, in the Mizrah, you gave me the schools to live through this day, to be able to see Kanzachisi Lirosabamara, to see that the day has passed, my building is standing, there are no earthquakes, no mudslides, no terrorists, I'm not stuck in an elevator in panic, and the time passed, I'm safe and I'm alive. Ashra Yoshev Sefa, let's stop mitzvah. That's the quintessential aspect of mitzvah. If you can just plug into that modani of mincha, then if never you gotta run and you say Shemoneh Esrei a little faster than usual or whatever, there isn't the kind of kavona that you would like. It wasn't the same kind of kavona of the mincha of Erev Yom Kippur, which both understands. And then the third modani, the Arvis. Yehira Tzom Lepanecha, Hashem Elokai Velokei Avosai, Kishem Shehayisi Ba'afela, the same way last night. Okay? And the two pshatim that may be here. Last night I was in the darkness. Ba'ot Seitani La'ora, and I woke up this morning. Now that it's night and I lay myself down to sleep, Kein Totsieni Me'afela La'ora. May you go ahead and once again take me out of the darkness of night so that there will be a tomorrow morning. And then you go ahead and you daven Ma'ariv, and that's the quintessential aspect of Ma'ariv. Now, you see, that's Tzadik Hador talking, the Chofetz Chaim, that's the Baal Musar who's talking, where every bit of halacha had some kind of Musar. Surely if we had some kind of awareness, constant awareness in davening, then, you know, davening probably becomes a totally different experience for us in time. And it takes time to be able to understand this.
You mean this is like a harangi mukana muzum man makayam mitzvah hori?
This is the hinani mukana muzuma, an awareness. But I will forgive you if you don't say any of the other hinani mukhanas in the world. As a matter of fact, the Chofetz Chaim didn't want that they be said terribly much. But when it came to this, he had to give you this as the essential understanding of time, at least as it relates to davening. And we must conclude, as an automatic corollary, that one of the finest sensitizers to the issue of time that a human being has is what? Is tefillah. Simple tefillah. Which brings us back to the Shalom that requested that we take those passages in time and link them with eternity, with the cement of eternity. And here, so you have the cement of eternity, and here there's no question that you are a mortal being, I'm a mortal being. We have another part. Our neshama wouldn't exist independently of our goof. So I turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu three times a day. Thank you for the goof that I still have. My head is still on my shoulders. My bones still can support my body, my aching body, creaking body. I'm alive. Let's get going. This is all the first, you know, sheyehei. This is all implicit in this. Let's stop here. Vasha, you have to repeat this. Okay.
This is like a preface to a preface. You already say, Hashem Sepatai Tiftahu Fi Yagid Hilatecha. Now you want us to add a preface to it.
Well, it's not a preface. But Hashem's society talk is a preface to your speech, your direct communication to God, which is totally legitimate. Like you write a preface to a book, and you have an introductory line. Ladies and gentlemen, my dear friends, whatever. This is an orientation in time. This is the thrice daily Shechet Yonu that Alan was talking about. It gives you the orientation of time to stop and to understand and captivate the moment of time as to what you are doing and why you are doing it just now. Just like at the Seder, you're doing it just then because that's when it happened in the year 2448. You are now standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you suddenly came out of darkness to light. You are now standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu ready to speak your mincha, to say your mincha, because you've seen the sun traverse the earth. You are now ready to lay yourself down to bed and daven Maariv because you have to regenerate yourself, and you hope that in time you will be able to stand up once again like you did this morning.
Where were these? Where was these first found, or who wrote them?
This is in Yerushalmi, Parak Birchas Hashachar. You want me to bring the Yerushalmi? I'll show it.
And they're not in a siddur, though.
Unfortunately, in most siddurim, they don't exist. You want to take a look?
Well, we have to look.
Probably, these siddurim with a lot of perushim, whether Hasidisha or Litvisha, or Misnagin, maybe the Osar, I think those would have it. Let me get you a Yerushalmi.
Okay.